Welcome into a unique edition of the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You can be customer number 1,201,368 if you want to be. That's how many satisfied customers have driven through the doors, actually walked through the doors, they don't drive through the doors, been through Ed Morse dealerships across the state of Florida for more than 73 years, family-owned and family-owned right here at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, proud presenters of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. And they have some cool things planned. We're going to be talking about that this week in future editions of Ira's podcast, actually the next one, which will pop tomorrow. But why is this episode unique? Well, I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan, and last week we were going to publish Ira's podcast on Thursday afternoon. And Thursday afternoon is when we learned that our friend and really our Joe Bucks Fan family member, Steve Dumig, the big dog, passed away. For those who didn't listen to him or don't know him, Big Dog was really 25 years or so as a major influencer in sports radio in town, a true sports radio icon who, you know, did a fantastic job. But his influence and his legacy is really more of how he impacted the whole sports world and how shaped a lot of things as well that were going on. And there's so much to talk about with Steve. I had a personal relationship with him. So did Ira. And Ira will talk about that later in the week. But this podcast is the one that we didn't run on Thursday because we didn't want to sound like we were doing our usual fun time on the podcast in what was a sad time. So this episode was recorded before Dumig passed away, but it's running after now. And all the stuff is good. There's a lot of good nuggets in here. Everything's still fresh. And Ira had talked to Bruce Arians one-on-one. So did I a little bit. And we've got some other things there. So I think you're going to have a great episode today. And we'll be back with a new episode tomorrow that was already recorded. And then we'll do yet another one from One Buck Place later this week. So we are not skipping anything, just moving some things around out of respect to what happened last week with Steve Dumig. All right, now, the Ira Kaufman Podcast. We all know, Ira, how much he supports Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. We got some really cool things planned that just were confirmed. But first, we want you to go over to edmorsecadillactampa.com. There you're going to see all the great offers that end at the end of this month. Not in June, this month, 2019 Cadillac models, in-stock models, zero down, zero security, zero first month. All the offers right there at edmorsecadillactampa.com. They are just west of 275 on Fletcher. And yes, Ira is going to be driving a Cadillac very soon. We can't wait to really give out all those details. It's going to be a lot of fun, and that's definitely happening. And longtime listeners of the podcast will really appreciate that and how it's going to go down. Also at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, their support is fantastic. They're right there on Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to. Get to their website, edmorsecadillacbrandon.com. Now you're here for the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports. So yeah, let's get right to them. The Ira Kaufman Podcast is on. We're back here at One Buck Palace. The Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is in the house, presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. That sage is Mr. Ira Kaufman. Now, before I introduce ourselves, Ira, how are you, man?
You got to start with a story, Lee. That's the best way to start. And I got one.
Annie Sabo?
No, this one's legit. Annie Sabo's not legit.
I beg to differ.
Well, it's not legit. We're putting her and me in the same sentence. That's not legit. I'm driving down Dale Mabry. It's pouring. It's absolutely pouring. My windshield wipers can't even keep up. And I'm thinking about the Bucks practicing and whatever. And I'm running late, of course. And I called the Kemper up. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a wipeout. I'm going to miss Arians. I'm going to miss the players. You know, and it's like 10:45 and 10, you know, 11 o'clock. And I called the Kemper up and I said, Lee, what's going on? Has Arians been at the podium yet or whatever? He goes, they're in the indoor facility, Ira. Everything's fine. Practice started on time. I forgot all about that they had an indoor facility. I've been here so many years, so, and now it's not 80 years over there, Steve. Don't even thinking about it. But it completely crossed my mind that they got an indoor facility. Today would have been a total wipeout, guys. You know, it took them a while to get it, but they did it right. And today, it really saved them.
Yeah, Ira calls me up and he says, where are you guys at? I said, it's inside today, Ira. And there was a pause.
There was a pause.
You guys are in the media studio? No, Fernando.
It was an absolute pause.
Right, for those unaware of what a wipeout is, it's also known as a washout.
We're talking
torrential rain. But I have to say, Ira, you know what? You parked at $1 and you walked all the way out.
I did, all the way across the field.
In torrential rain.
Deluge.
For the practice in the indoor facility, and you seem pretty dry. Your umbrella was working.
I had it all going. I got my Vivint hat. My son works for Vivint, big company out in Utah. Home security.
Okay, yeah.
I believe their name's on the Utah Jazz arena.
Oh, is that right?
It's a billion-dollar company, and my son's making $1.25 an hour.
And they got him going to Houston in the summertime.
And he's in Houston for the summertime. We will visit.
All right, Sage, let me set the stage here. Lee DeCamper is here. That was his voice. You, of course, are the Sage. I'm Steve Isbitz. We're the triumvirate here at JoeBucksFan.com. Intern Zach Seifter is going to be back.
We're dry, Steve. We're dry.
We're dry, yeah. Nobody's wet. Finished up practice.
And Vernon Hargreaves is wet.
And Vernon Hargreaves, he's wet. He's thrown under the bus. I don't know. But here's how this goes down, Ira. And this is sort of the interesting news of the day. All right, we're at practice, and I'm watching. I got Hargreaves. I see him stretching. He's running with a bungee cord attached to him, working with trainers. But he's not practicing, and he's wearing sweatpants. And so, okay, I ask Arians after practice, Coach, what's with Vernon Hargreaves?
You thought he might have been a little under the weather or something?
I don't know. Yeah. I just asked him any significant reason why Hargreaves is out. Now, you know how this goes. There's no injury report for OTAs. There's no desire or there's
no obligation.
No obligation for Arians to say anything. You just say, oh, you know, we're being careful with him today. He could say anything he wants. Well, I ask him, and what does Arians say? You have to talk to Vernon. He's got to get his mind ready to practice. And then there was a pause, and a follow-up question comes to Arians about, why exactly wasn't he mentally ready for practice? And Arians says, Ira, quick reply, you'd have to ask him. Now, you've been around this game a long time. Coaches making comments. They send messages. Media, not through the media. What do you make of all that?
I can hear the sound of 125,000 Buck fans applauding Bruce Arians. Applauding. Here we are in May. We're not even at mandatory minicamp. We're 2.5 months away from training camp. He's already laying down the law. Accountability. Something that one of the Bucks mentioned the other day, Ryan Jensen, was a story on Joe Bucks Fan. What strikes you about this coaching staff? More accountability. Now, Lee, some people would say, well, you're always going to get that with a new staff. You're going to get that feeling. You know, you got to be more on guard. Vernon Hargreaves has been warned. He's on guard right now. Strike one. A couple more strikes. And I don't think Bruce Arians cares one bit that he was the 11th player taken in that draft. Not one bit. He's got to win. You don't think Hargreaves is mentally ready? I can hear Buck fans saying, go get him, Bruce. Can't you?
I'll be the bearer of bad news and pop some bubbles here. I also remember a first-year coach that ran a player out of practice in underwear football for not having his head in the game, which apparently was Hargreaves' sin today. That was none other than Austin Seferian Jack Wagon. And Dirk Cutter. How'd things turn out? I hate to say it, but I have to say this may be a little more dark than what we think it is. The reason why I say that is I know Hargreaves may have been his rookie year, may have been his second year. He talked about how he got fined for being late to One Buck Palace. And he got stuck in traffic or whatever. And he said, you know, I learned my lesson. Now I'm going to take off earlier. I'm going to have a different route. So getting here on time hasn't exactly been, well, let's just say he's been late once before, if that's what this is. And we all know why ASJ was run out of practice. He was allegedly under the influence of something. Now, I remember minutes before practice started, he was on Twitter retweeting stuff from CNBC about the joys of legal marijuana. You do your own math. I heard rumors that say he was drunk. Well, we know he had an issue with alcohol. So I'm going to be a little darker here. If Hargreaves already has done this before, we don't know what the issue is, but I know Hargreaves has been late and has been fined for it. Here Arians comes in, you got to get your head into practice. Well, the last time I know that happened, it was ASJ. He had more than his head out of whack. So you know, I'm a little more dire about
this. You know, that starting, to Lee's point, that starting cornerback job, which has been granted to Vernon Hargreaves a month or two ago by this coaching staff, that's not written in stone, gentlemen. It absolutely isn't. He's done absolutely nothing the last 2 years. He's been hurt. He's been ineffective since a okay rookie season. Didn't set the world on fire. The guy's got one career pick. Steve, am I correct? I believe it's one. It might be off Brady. I can't remember, but he's got one career pick.
No, it wasn't Brady.
All right, it wasn't Brady.
Cam Newton?
Could be. He don't have a lot to hang his hat on as a professional. It's unusual to hear these kind of comments in May, but Arian said he's not taking any prisoners, and he's not cutting these guys much slack, and I'm glad he's backing up his word, Steve.
What makes it interesting to me, Ira, is that Arians went out of his way on Sirius a couple of weeks ago to say that Vernon Hargraves is the guy he's looking to lead the cornerbacks because he's the veteran in the room and he's putting a lot of pressure on him and he doesn't mind putting that pressure on him to be the guy. And here he is now. He's essentially at the bottom of the heap. Can't practice in OTAs.
If you don't watch it, he's going to be behind Lee's favorite player, Ryan Smith, on the depth chart.
What does it tell you when Vernon Hargraves is the veteran of the group?
Let that sink in, Lee.
He's only had one full season.
Yeah, one full season.
And last year, of course, unfortunately for everybody involved, he was hurt in the New Orleans game. But he's the veteran in that group. That's how thin is. And, you know, we've talked at length about GMC and JPP. Those two guys are gone. This defense is thin as thin can be. At least, at best, you could say it's green.
We talked about being in a position to pounce. Arians has talked about it recently. You got to pounce in late August or early September. Those final cuts, some team can't afford a guy. He's too pricey. Not like the Bucks are swimming in money. But we'll see what's happening in the next month or two. Might free up some bucks. Might.
Bucks is
B-U-C-K-S. B-U-C-K-S. Okay. Corner is a position that's in the mix there in terms of having a veteran. Don't you need a veteran corner, Steve? Don't you need one? Somebody in the room?
I believe Claiborne. I think he's still hanging out there.
I think you're right.
Now, it doesn't mean that they have any interest in him, but I think he's still hanging out there. All right, Ira, I wanted to mention that in practice today, one big standout play, Devin White picking off Jameis Winston early on what Arians called a forced throw. And of course, you know, everybody loves to overreact to this stuff. I did talk to White personally after practice, and he said he was very business as usual. He said, this is what I do in practice. No big deal. Lavonne David expressed that he was very impressed that Devin White was so confident in all the calls and all the just his confident in his communication. And White said to me, and I was the only one to talk to him, it was so great to be with professionals who know how to communicate so well on the field. He said, I really like that. And
now, communication has been a problem.
Right.
Steve,
that's why
defense.
I bring it up, Sage.
Yeah. I got a few minutes alone time with Bruce Arians. I'm surprised the Kemper didn't take a picture of that and post it.
I got photos.
Steve's got photos. And I talked to him a little bit about the Devin White, Lavonne David combination when they're in the 3-4 at inside linebacker. And the combination, not so much of the physical traits, but, you know, their temperament, contrasting temperament. One's outgoing, one's reserved. Arians thought it was a perfect marriage. Now, we'll see. They haven't played the first game, and you know, the Kemper likes to say underwear football, and it's a classic phrase. And you'll say it about 20 more times before training camp
I got to give Raheem Morris the credit. He's the one that coined that phrase. And I've used it so much, Dirk Cutter even started using it.
I think being around a guy like Devin White, who I think is going to turn out to be a better player than Quan Alexander, in my opinion, I think it's going to rejuvenate Lavonne David, who has been beaten down. He hasn't been here as long as poor DeMar Dotson, but he's getting there. I think he came in 2012. A lot of losing, Steve. A lot of losing for Lavonne David. And I think the chance to nurture a guy like White, who's got the skill package, sorry, Lee, to be the number five pick in the draft, I think that's going to have a positive effect on Lavonne.
All right, Sage, I want to be a little bit fair. Now, I did have a little private time with Arians, which really isn't to be shared here.
And I took a picture of you over there.
You did. You did. But there is one nugget that I think is important. Now, we talked on the last podcast about sort of the weird look of Arians in the golf cart cruising around. So I
asked him today, where's the golf cart? He goes, right outside, baby.
So no golf cart today. He was buzzing around practice, and Arians standing there, I noticed right away, and maybe because I spent a little more time around him in Phoenix and stuff, he lost a lot of weight. And I went up to him, Coach, you looking fit? I thought, you know, we were kind of talking behind the scenes here, saying, oh, maybe he needs that golf cart. He can't walk. He's this, he's that. So you look great. He's like, coach said he lost 15 pounds.
You telling me this after I just scarfed down a Checkers burger and fries?
Anyway, for those wondering who, because a lot of people wonder about Arian's health and all this other stuff, the golf cart look where he just sits there like an old guy. He said he's lost 15 pounds. He's determined to hit another 15. Feels like $1 million. And he laughed when I said, you know, wondering about you. And he said, oh, no, no, don't worry about my health.
Lee, we got to take him to Burns. We got to take him to Burns. We got to fatten him up a little bit.
You springing?
If I can get Arians for an hour and a half, I'll spring. What struck you, Lee? Anything strike? I'll tell you one thing that jumped out at me I thought Winston's arm was very, very lively. Mm-hmm. He didn't hit all his throws. He overthrew a couple of guys. Hard to overthrew Perryman, but he did. But the ball came out strong. So anybody who's thinking, you know, he's been working too hard, because that's come up in our podcast, you know, don't overdo it. Christensen's a little concerned about that. He certainly didn't show any signs of having a dead arm out there, Lee.
No.
That ball was coming out strong.
Yeah. I hate to say it. The only thing that really jumped out at me, because you really can't get anything out of underwear football outside of the quarterback and cornerbacks. It's really difficult. Linebackers maybe once in a while. And I hate to say it, but this is going to get people all wound up. And I'm not trying to do it on purpose, but it did jump out at me. Guy, give Zach here some credit. He pointed it out to me, because otherwise I'm like, you know, I got a fight to stay with. At any rate, Matt Gay, the kicker, that's like a bazooka, the guy's leg. I mean, that ball just, boom.
Yeah.
It really comes off his foot. It really does. And I still say he looks more like a guard than Alex Kappa.
Apparently, Kappa got a lot of work at right guard today.
Oh,
Mr.
goody.
Benenock working at right tackle.
Yeah, you know what? Arians was asked about, Kappa at right guard. What are you seeing from the guards? Simple answer. Nothing.
Yeah, that's a great answer. He's consistent on that.
He's
not going to grade the linemen, the trench guys at this stage.
He actually said recently it's unfair. It's unfair for the offensive line because you can't do anything physical. It's unfair.
Gentlemen, I saw Ronald Jones in the left flat
catch
a football.
Yeah.
I saw it. I should have had the video going on my phone, but I saw it. He didn't juggle it. He didn't bobble it. He grasped it in those strong hands of his. Turned upfield, that could have been an 80-yard touchdown.
Maybe that was the same play I saw. I saw him turn upfield, actually run past defenders. And that may be the first time I ever saw him, game, practice, you name it, was like he belonged.
And I saw Jason Light punch the air a little bit. Gave it a little, yeah, baby.
Of course, that was one play football.
Did you see Light and Arians focused on those kickers? Oh, yeah, watching them like a hawk.
These guys did, because I didn't bring my binoculars, so I didn't see them.
Yeah,
these guys got better
eyes than almost side by side.
Oh, you know, they weren't really side by side, but they were close, and they were peeled in. I mean, it was really interesting, Sage, in my practice notes that we threw up on Joe Bucks Fan. I sort of broke down the little competition of the day. Matt Gay missed a 58-yarder, but the kick had the distance, which I thought was impressive. I agree with Lee. It just pops off his foot. Santos missed his 50-plus yarder, but then Gay ended it with a 52-yarder to close the session. Got a big leg, but it's May. It's just meaningless nonsense.
He's got a bigger leg than Santos. I don't think there's a question about
correct.
That.
Yeah, no dispute there. All right, Ira. Now, the kicking competition, though, I think he's going to really enjoy turning it up on these guys and finding ways to get them to compete and try to figure out who's got the mental toughness.
You know, Lee, it could – I'm not trying to get ahead of ourselves, but it could be a bone of contention if Santos outkicks him in training camp. I mean, it's very possible. He's reliable from 40, 45 yards in, Santos. In today's game, I don't think that's enough. I don't think it's enough.
I lean toward your philosophy.
But what if he's out kicking him and Arians has some questions about the rookie and he's untested in pressure situations? And, you know, look, let's be honest. Light's rooting like hell for Gay. I mean, he has to be.
Is he?
He has to be.
Has to be. He's the one that signed Santos.
Yeah, he signed Santos, but nobody's going to rip him if they dump Santos for Gay.
Right now, he can't worry about who rips who. He's got to worry about wins.
Yeah, he's got bigger ripping to worry about than that. All right, Ira, I want to run this by you. You know, Zach, who we're going to bring in soon, he was out there with me at the Donovan Smith bowling a fundraiser for...
Of which you coughed up a little cash over there, Stephen.
For
very
autism.
Nice.
And Smith, the one little funny thing, you're going to love this, Ira. So Smith is making, what, $14 million this year? So they announce at the end, you know, how much money they've raised, and some other people step forward with some money, and, hey, the total's up to this. And, like, I think it was Smith's agent threw in another $1,500 and some other business owner.
Zach threw in a couple hundred.
Zach threw a couple grand. A local business owner threw in $5,000, so they were up there. And Donovan Smith says, all right. He's like, and he calls out. He said, where's my financial advisor? And he calls out to his financial advisor at the bowling alley. And the guy says, I'm here. And he says, hey, I forget the guy's name. He says, we'll just call him George. Hey, George, can I swing 10 grand? Is that cool? Can I pledge 10 grand?
Oh, my.
And George says to him, yeah, we can do that. So Donovan Smith says, all right, 10 grand from me. 10 grand, I figured it out, all right? That's like $35 from you.
Lee, this is another universe. See, that you know, fans have to realize that these guys live in an alternate universe. You know, we're 10 grand short. Let's make up for it, George. Okay, Donovan, write the check. Lee, I'm trying to get cab fare home once in a while. I'm trying to go to the gas station. I'm worried when the gas goes up to $2.65. It's a total different story.
But it was a nice event. You know, so we sent Zach out there with a mission. He did very well. Hit every ball, the players. Only one player turned him down. America's quarterback, Jameis Winston. Ira, now it happens.
That's because he knew he's up in Gainesville with Florida. That's
it could
the
be.
Reason.
It could be. Now, I wanted to read this quote.
You didn't have a Gator shirt on, did you, Zach? Oh, All right.
I wanted to read this quote to you, Ira, and want to get Lee's take on this, too, because this was fascinating to me. Absolutely fascinating. So O.J. Howard, he's been hurt the last couple of years, right? He's a picture of fitness. He's been hurt the last couple of years. He got injured on a tackle last year in New York, where it rolled up his ankle that knocked him out for the rest of the year. Okay, so O.J. Howard, Zach asked him about, you know, staying healthy. And this is what he says. He says, I came in with a different mindset as far as like how early I want to start training and when I want to start conditioning real hard and things like that. So I have a better feel for it. Just starting the recovery process early, Howard said, you know, my first 2 years was more recovery when needed. But you have to start preparing and doing it before it even gets to injury time. That's something that I learned and I'm trying to improve on it every day. It's almost like Howard was blaming himself for getting injured.
You know, Lee, I'm not going to piss on a guy who's trying to get in better shape and trying to help himself to 16 starts this fall. There's nothing wrong with that. That should be applauded. But at the same time, Lee, that's not going to stop him from getting his ankle rolled up. It happens. Happens to everybody out there. You play long enough, you're going to get hurt. And there's nothing wrong with taking a different approach. Maybe it's nutrition. Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's his rest regimen during the week. Nothing wrong with that.
Could it have just been a fluke? Simple as a fluke?
Maybe he thinks he needs to be in better football shape. That's something to be applauded. I'll tell you what. If this guy stays healthy, he's going to have a big season.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that what trainers are for? Don't they hire trainers to consult with them? Like, yeah, they got him on staff.
Speaking of tight ends, gentlemen, am I starting to hear the Cam Brake trade express? Well, what is going on here? Why do people want to get rid of this guy?
I don't think people want to get rid of him. They're connecting dots where dots aren't there. This is what it is. And a guy for Bleacher Report. Sometimes they do some good stuff. Sometimes you could tell they're not plugged into a team, but they tried. They, you know, come across as they are, but they're not. But there was an interesting premise. This guy for Bleacher Report claimed since JPP's injury, all of a sudden McCoy Beans is value to the Bucks, and they're not going to get rid of him because otherwise your defense line is going to be pathetic. So they still got to get rid of some money, especially if they keep GMC. So they keep McCoy, who's the next logical guy. Well, you look at backups. Cam Brate's pretty expensive backup, if you consider him number
Lee
two.
Lee Howard hasn't proved he can play a full season. You're taking a big chance.
Not only that, but Brate is sneaky good. When I say that is, what was the Bucks' biggest problem last year?
Red zone.
We're going to call it red zone, midfield, I don't give a damn. Scoring. Defense, yeah, that was atrocious, but scoring. They had this fabulous offense, but they couldn't score points. Cam Brate is the only tight end in the NFL to have at least 6 touchdowns in the last 3 seasons each.
Each of the last.
He's a touchdown machine. You need to score points. So logically speaking, although, again, I can understand why someone would come to the conclusion that Cam Brate should go because he's technically a backup. He's making $7 million a year. You're in salary cap hell. I get that. But Brate's a sneaky, good tight end. He's a touchdown machine.
And
they need
that,
to score
and
points.
And he suffered a major injury last year, fairly early in the year, and still scored 6 touchdowns.
Yeah, that's true.
An now, injury here, that required surgery.
And here's also another thing you could add to this, the argument about keeping Brate. Just this past weekend, Bruce Arians was asked about tight ends. Oh, he got all excited. He was talking
about... I asked him about using 2 tight ends. Yeah.
He got all worked up, got all excited. I haven't had tight ends like this. Then he was asked about McCoy. Clammed up. So that tells me Brate's a little safe.
I don't think Arians is in any hurry to get rid of Cameron Brate, Steve.
Well, no reason to that I can tell. I just was very surprised, Ira. It almost was as if O.J. Howard was blaming himself or thinking he wasn't doing something right. And like Lee said, maybe trainers told him, you're not doing enough to this injury that you had. If you were stronger,
wondering why he's been hurt each
of the
first
but
2 years.
Someone's got the bug in his head. Having talked to him over the years, somebody put the bug in his head that, hey, man, this is on you. And you got to stay healthy or you're not going to stick.
He was having a heck of a year last year, Lee.
Yeah, I'm not knocking the guy. I think he's being too hard on himself.
He had a heck of a rookie year, and we don't have the time, obviously, to look it up, but I did the research, and I've written a story a couple times that for a rookie tight end, his yards were some of the best in recent history. He was like 3rd or 4th in the last decade.
His problem is he doesn't get enough targets, Lee.
Of it, but then again, I mean, look at the team he's on. It's targets are all over the place. Yeah. But no, he had a heck of a rookie year, and these imbeciles, these PFF tribe that had him as the worst rookie graded, them and their grade. I like to slap him in the face with their grades. And now this year, all of a sudden, he's the highest graded tight end. You fools, get away from me.
Steve, he's a guy who could pick up some of the slack from Humphreys' production in terms of tough catches over the middle.
Yeah, there's so
He only had 47, because I wrote about it last week, 47 targets last year. Now, granted, he missed a lot of games. 47 targets.
O.J. Howard, you mean?
Yeah. These other guys are getting 140. George Kittle and the top tight ends in the league.
Name a receiver on San Francisco besides Kittle. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but look at the team he's on. Yeah. They had DeSean Jackson, had Brate, had Mike Evans, had Godwin. That speaks for itself. That's why he's not getting the targets. But if he was on a garbage team, he is on a garbage team, but he was on another garbage team that basically your best wide receiver would have been Tyquan Underwood. Hell yeah, he'd have more targets.
But that 16.6 average, that's very, very
impressive. No, you're right, Ira. Look, to make up those yards, those lost yards, those 1,400 or so lost yards, 1,200, whatever it is, can he handle 4 or 5 targets a game? Absolutely. It's not even a big deal. So, or even 5, 6 if it came to that. All right, Ira. Now, I wanted to just throw a couple quick nuggets. One, you've got, I noticed at practice, the kid, the second-year running back. Sean Wilson looked sharp as far as his quickness. And Andre Ellington, I thought this guy had been out of football, looked like he had a lot of juice.
You think that year off did Ellington some good over there, Steven?
I think they're going to like the film on those two guys, just my 2 cents. And,
I was looking up the Arians' first year in Arizona. I was looking up some of the numbers from the guys, and he got a 1,000-yard season out of Michael Floyd, who was the second year in the league, did very little as a rookie. Arians comes in 2013, and he gets 1,000 yards opposite Larry Fitzgerald. Andre Ellington, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, averaged 5.5 yards a carry. That's crazy. That's Jim Brown. So if he averages 4.5 yards a carry, Buck fans would be ecstatic.
Yeah.
Because we're used to 3.5 yards a carry.
More like 2.3.
Or in the case of Ronald Jones, 1.9, which is still one of the most shocking stats of the 2018 season, that anybody could average 1.9 yards a carry. And by the way, in the preseason, he averaged 0.8. 0.8. I'm not making this stuff up. So back to Ellington. Steve, maybe those legs are fresh. We'll see.
Yeah.
Familiarity with Arians is going to go a long way for Ellington.
Yeah, just something to look at.
In terms of keeping him on the roster.
Just something to look at, first practice. And I thought my impression was that the pace of the defense looked real quick, and Arians noted that as well, which was good. And Jordan Whitehead, he's easily put on 10 pounds of muscle. And was
he's going to have a real shot.
He wants to start. In his mind, he wants to start. And there's Justin Evans watching practice. Who knows what's going to happen with this team, Ira.
I got a question for Ira. This guy writes for the, and I love this newspaper name because it just screams, the horse-driven buggy will drop off the papers at the corner drugstore. The Canton Repository.
The Canton Repository.
It sounds like something I'm going to do when I leave this meeting and go to the bathroom.
That's an amazing name for a newspaper.
So anyway, this guy comes out again with another...
Same guy
with another speculation article, although he went on local radio and no, this isn't speculation, but I didn't see the word source used anywhere in the story. Well, he came out with one, and despite what some people in this building think, I actually have a journalism degree. I actually take some pride in newspapers. I actually do. And this guy comes out in a story, an alleged, you know, longtime beat writer, veteran, ink-stained reporter. He writes, We believe there is still interest in McCoy. You know, he's writing about the Browns. We believe.
I don't like that phrase. I don't like that.
Zach, if you'd write that for the Alligator, they'd probably throw you out of the place, wouldn't they? Who the hell's we?
You know who said we believe? The people that drank the poison at the Jim Jones's sanctuary.
I thought you were going to say our founding fathers when he wrote the Constitution.
You still have Duke Johnson in the mix, or is Duke Johnson gone?
I can't remember if he had that in there, but I mean, the article is nothing but speculation. He doesn't say an NFL source, a team source, nothing. No quotes.
Steve, we believe. We're in this kind of world, Steve, of so-called journalism. I read a story today talking about, well, there's a report out that Ben Simmons is going to be traded even up for LeBron James. I read the story. It's some clown out in L.A., got no sources, and says, well, wouldn't this be an interesting deal if it happened? Clickbait. There you go. There's nothing to it.
But this is a guy, it's like, looks like he's in his 50s, at least in his 40s. You know, he was obviously in the newspaper business before the internet came around. And he writes, we believe. It's not a column. It's supposed to be a story.
You know what? We believe you need better sources. Let's leave it at that.
Well, here's one for you, Ira. Whenever I would be questioning a source, and whenever I got the answer, I believe so, or I believe, my response was always, do you believe or do you know? Because belief is just a belief. It's a hope and a prayer.
Nice.
If you know, well, you know. And more often than not, when I had the follow-up, do you believe or do you know, I got a far different answer.
Do you believe in Rachel Watson or do you know?
Depends.
All right, Ira, enough of the cheerleader talk. Let's bring in Zach Seifter, intern, busy man. He has been counseled by you. We're just getting started. He's week two on the job, but he's on the podcast.
Blown off by Jameis Winston, so he's learning the intricacies of the job.
Learning how it goes, and he's got a couple questions for you, of course.
What do you got, Zach?
That was at Donovan Smith's bowling event. I was talking to a couple guys, Alex Kappa, Mike Litke, a couple of these guys, about the right guard job. It's kind of up in the air. I talked to a couple of them if the coaching staff has indicated to them that they have any sort of shot at starting this upcoming season. They all told me, we're not there yet. We don't know. Now, Alex Kappa was getting some looks today at right guard. Do you believe that he has the upper hand
in terms of
getting this?
I believe there's a man, the Earl of Watford, who has experience with Mr. Arians that was brought in for a purpose. He looks lean. He looks mean. And I believe he is the man to beat at right guard. He's proven he can play in this league. Kappa couldn't beat out Benenock last year. That doesn't mean Kappa can't improve his technique with different coaching. But I believe Watford is the guy that has the inside spot in between Jensen and Mr. Dotson.
All right, Sage. You're a Sixers fan, right? 76ers?
Big Sixers fan. I'm still trying to get over it.
What is the word?
The ball bounced 8 times on that rim over there, Zach.
I was going to say, what does the name Kawhi Leonard do for you?
You know, I'm going to draw a lesson about Kawhi Leonard, and it might apply to the Buccaneers. Kawhi Leonard came into this league. He was no offensive threat. He was known as a defensive stopper. You know, good instincts defensively. He's all over you like sandpaper. Any points he scored was gravy. You know, he scores 11 points, you're happy. Now, the guy averaged 35 points against my Sixers. He's the guy that the Bucks are game planning for in the Eastern Conference Finals. So my point is, you work at your craft. You work at your craft. You develop. And it's amazing what you can do with hard work, the right coaching, and determination. And that goes for all these young Buck players, too. And, yes, I'm talking to you, Carlton Davis. I'm talking to you, MJ Stewart. I'm talking to you, Mr. Evans, at safety. Dedicate yourself. Rondé Barber was not very good as a rookie. He'll be the first to say it. He didn't know if he was going to stick on this team. Next thing you know, I hope to be talking about him as a Hall of Fame candidate in Miami. So use the Leonard example. He is one of the top three or four players in this league. But when he came in, he was one-dimensional. Don't be one-dimensional. That goes for you too, Zach. When you get back to Gainesville, don't be one-dimensional.
Ira, a final thought of your sage advice for young Zach as he approaches this week, week two at Joe Bucks Fan?
Yep, Zach, as you go on in your career, you won't always get the player that you want. You catch them on a bad day or whatever it is. They don't want to talk. It's controversial. Don't take it personal. You'll get them the next time. Sometimes going through PR helps. So you learned a little lesson the other night at Pin Chasers. Maybe Jameis Bolden 88. Maybe he wasn't happy. But whatever the reason, don't take it personal. He didn't know that that you're from Gainesville. He just didn't like the shirt you were wearing. Zach, shrug it off. Get him the next time.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right, Sage, we were flying tight on the podcast today. And Ira, the good folks, the Bucks fans, reading, absorbing everything. It's all sunk in now. JPP is injured. Everybody gets it. The team's back. Everybody's watched all the videos that they've soaked up on Buccaneers.com. Where does this team stand right now? How should people feel?
I'll give you a perfect example about it, Steve. I was at the party the other night. It was a kind of a Trib reunion party. 3 years since our demise of the great Tribune. There must have been 11, 13 people came up to me and said, how are the Bucks going to do this year? How are the Bucks going to do? They're not big sports fans. They're casual Buck fans. And you know what I said? How could anybody know? There's so much uncertainty swirling around one Buck place, especially on the defensive line. Fans are putting a tremendous amount of stock in Bruce Arians and this new coaching staff. They haven't changed the roster dramatically. And, Steve, it's a very uneasy time for Buck fans. They got to get this stuff straightened out with JPP and equally importantly, Gerald McCoy, until we can really get a gauge on these Bucks. Talking to Arians, he doesn't seem concerned about it. He's going to coach the guys that are here. But in the back of his mind and in his conversations with Jason Light in the executive suite, it's like, hey, what direction is this team going? You think I know? I don't even know if they know.
And you know what, Ira? That uncertainty, that goes positive and negative. So I talked to a lot of Bucks fans the other night. A lot of optimism out there, but it's very cautious. Very cautious. And, hey, can't blame anybody for that, Sage.
No question about it. It's a little different than going into the 2017 season. We were all fooled, myself included. I thought they were going to win 10 games after winning 9 games. The arrow was going up. Everything looked good, and they crashed down to earth at 5-11. You never know with this team. Most of the time, if you bet on the basement in the NFC South, you're going to win. Let's hope that they get out of the cellar, Steve.